Which never occurred to the rest of us. And as 'twas a June day and just about noonday, she wanted to eat like the best of us. Her diet was whey, and I hasten to say, it is wholesome and people grow fat on it. The spot being lonely, the lady not only discovered the tuffet, but sat on it. A rivulet dabbled beside her and babbled, as rivulets often are thought to do. Dragonflies sported around and cavorted, as poets say dragonflies ought to do. When glancing aside, for a moment she spied a horrible sight that brought fear to her. A hideous spider was sitting beside her and most unavoidably near to her. Albeit unsightly, this creature politely said, "Madam, I earnestly vow to you, I'm penitent that I did not bring my hat. I should otherwise certainly bow to you." Though anxious to please, he was so ill at ease that he lost all his sense of propriety. inept that he clumsily stepped in her plate, which is barred in society. This curious error completed her terror. She shuddered, and growing much paler, not only left Tuffet, but dealt him a buffet, which doubled him up in a sailor knot. It should be explained that at this he was pained. He cried, "I have vexed you, no doubt of it. Your fist's like a truncheon, you're still in my luncheon," was all that she answered, "get out of it." And the moral is this, be it madam or miss, to whom you have something to say, you are only absurd when you get in the curd, but you're rude when you get in the way. She labored hard and zealously, but always got it jealously, the secrets of the dishes she invented every day. She'd take some indigestible, unpopular comestible, and to its better nature would so tenderly appeal, that Jack invoked a benison upon a haunch of venison. When ready, she was serving him a little leg of veal. Jack said she was a miracle, the word was not satirical, for daily climbing upward she excelled herself at last. The acme of facility, the zenith of ability, was what she gave her brother for his Christmas Day repast. He dined that evening eagerly, and anything but meagerly, and when he finished had his salad, and his quart of extra dry. With sisterly benignity and just a touch of dignity, she placed upon the table an unutterable pie. Unflagging pertinacity and technical sagacity, long nights of sleepless vigil and long days of constant care, had been involved in making it, improving it, and baking it, until of other pies it was the wonder and despair. So princely and so prominent, so solemn, so predominant, it looked upon the table that with fascinated eye, the youth with sudden wonder struck, electrified and thunderstruck, could only stammer stupidly, "Oh, golly, what a pie." In view of his satiety, it almost seemed impiety to carve this crowning triumph of a culinary life. But placed by his avidity, with sudden intrepidity, he broke his dome in posing with a common kitchen knife. A hideous fatality, for when with eager palate he commenced to eat, he happened on an accident uncouth. And cried with stifled moan, "Of it one plum I tried, the stone of it had never been extracted, and I broke a wisdom tooth." Jack's sister wept effusively, but loudly and abusively, his unreserved opinion of her talents he proclaimed. He called her names like Driveller and Simpleton and Sniveller, and others which to mention I am really too ashamed. The moral: it is saddening, embarrassing, and maddening, a stone to strike in what you thought was paste. One thing alone than this mischance is crueler, and that is for a jeweler to strike a paste in what he fondly thought to be a stone.